First of all, tell your neighbor, boy, you look good today. And I'm standing here looking, y'all look good in here. Praise God. Man, what a blessing. All right, praise God. Father, we give you praise today. We thank you that today is the day that you've made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in this day. Father, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you provide us not just with information, but you provide us with revelation knowledge concerning what your word says. We thank you that also with that revelation that you would grant to us wisdom, Lord God, that we might apply your word to every area of our lives. And as we do, we thank you that you would give us the fortitude to stand on your word until we see full manifestation of every promise that you've made to the church. And we thank you that as we receive every manifestation, we will boldly declare to the world that Jesus is Lord and see these things that he alone has done. So we thank you right now that we decrease, allow you to increase in us, speak what you would have your people to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been talking about the model church since December. And we've been talking about the model church in that we want to continue to build what God says to build. And what God says and God instructs us to do is to obey his word. So one of the things that we went through the 10 principles that we find are guiding principles of our ministry. And number one is the word of God is the final authority. So if we're gonna do church, we need to do church in the way that the word says church should be done, amen? So we talked about the model church, and one of the characteristics of the model church is that the model church is not driven by traditions alone. It's driven by the mission that God gives us. God gives a mission to his church, and if the church gets so caught on his tradition that it stops fulfilling the mission of God, then Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you and your traditions have made the word of God of non-effect. In other words, you keep going to the scriptures, but there's no power in the scriptures because every time you run across something that conflicts with your tradition, you will pick your tradition rather than stick with the word. So we find ourselves fast forward to 2015, and what do we have? We have the same conditions because we as human beings have a tendency, and that tendency is to get comfortable. And when we get comfortable doing things, we make traditions out of that which makes us comfortable. So that's why on Christmas Day, we have some traditions. And the traditions will survive as long as they're convenient. So when I was a kid, I would drive down and everybody would have lights on their house. And the only way sometimes the lights were on next Christmas is if they stayed up all year. Because it's a hard job putting all those lights up. You got to take them all down. And eventually, man, I'm not putting those lights up or I'm not taking those lights down. One of the two, right? It'll be comfortable. And so they'll come on next year when all I have to do is plug it in. But if I got to get back on that ladder and put all those lights back up there, it's likely possible, highly possible, that if this tradition doesn't mean that much to me, it's gonna go away. So what happens if we make the word of God a tradition? And the word of God gets to be that, you know what? I was standing for God. But boy, man, I got tired of standing for God. If it becomes a tradition and it loses its sense of mission, we will lay it down. Eventually, it's gonna get laid down. Every tradition eventually gets laid down. Now, the other side of the coin is traditions that get passed on so much so that we pass on the traditions so far that we can't even remember why we did it in the first place. I told you guys about the lady with the ham. She's cutting the end off the ham years after years. Husband looks at why you do that? She says, I don't know. Mom, that's what my mama taught me to do. So she calls mama and says, mama, why we do that? She says, I don't know. That's what big mama told me to do. Call her big mama. Mom, big mama, why we cut the ends off the ham? You still doing that? Yeah, why we do that? Because I just had a little bitty pan. The ham was always bigger than the pan, so I cut off the ends. Why are you still doing that? You pick up things and you keep passing those things along, and eventually nobody knows why we're doing it. We just, this is what we do. It's just how we do it. When you lose a sense of purpose concerning things, then you keep doing things, but they don't have a register in your heart as to doing it. You're just going through the motions. And I caught myself one time. I caught myself going to church and going through the motions. I was on fire for God and love God. Then I realized, man, I don't remember what was preached the last 5 years. Why? Because I don't love God? No, because I started allowing things to become tradition. I got too comfortable. And when we get comfortable, we start bad habits. It's quiet in here, man. I love it. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. So as we were talking about the model church, there's various things that we've talked about. We talked about the fact that, again, Jesus is the head of the church. We are all the body. We're connected as part of the body of Christ. And because we're connected, we do not have certain choices. We don't have the choice to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be in church. We need to be going to church. If we're part of the body of Christ, we need to go to church. Why do you need to go to church? For tradition? No, because that's where you need to get mission. That's where you need to get your mission. You need to get your clarity on what God has called you to do and how you're operating from church. And we talked about the fact that church is not the building. Church is not the programs. What is the church? It's the people. We are the church. So look at your neighbor and say, you are the church. We talked about the fact that the church has three layers of mission. The first is the great commandment, which Jesus said, this commandment I leave with you, that you love one another the way that I love you. So our first piece of mission is love. How do we walk in love? And love has layers. Love has the love that I love you and I'll shake hands with you. I'm glad to see you. I'm happy to see you. Then we have the love that is, you know what? Not only am I happy to see you, I will do something for you. That's another level of love. Then we have love that I love you and you love me. And it's all good. We experience that joint love. Then we have love that I love you and I know you don't care about me, but I love you anyway. Then we have love that I love you, I know you don't care about me, and I will still do something for you. Amen. Then there's love, I love you, and I know that there's absolutely no way that you can do anything for me, yet I will do for you anyway. Now we've entered into the God kind of love. But to enter into that God kind of love, you have to move through these other areas. And how do you get to that point where you can manifest the God kind of love? You can't do that by human nature. Human nature is going to fail you right about level 2 or 3. Every day when I go to work, there's a certain level of love I'm prepared to offer everybody. And then I need the Lord to lead me to deeper levels of love. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, Wilson? Amen. You need the Lord to take you deeper. We want the Lord to take us higher, but sometimes I need the Lord to take me deeper. Because there's an amount of human love that you have, and then you start running into the fact that you have a sin nature that you're born with, as cute a baby as you were. There's a sin nature in you. There's a nature in you that resists what God says is truth. Yeah, yeah. And you run into it some point or another. I don't care who you are. You're going to run into it sooner or later. It's powerful when you understand it and you respond and receive the grace of God that covers you before you need the grace of God. But it's a good thing that it's available even when you need it. Amen? Amen. What does it require? It requires us to just say yes to God. But the realities that we commonly embrace as Christians are foggy to those who don't believe. They don't make sense. So Luan was giving the example of the man, why is my wife giving money to the church? And he's going through the scriptures to explain exactly why she's making the choice. People should give not out of compulsion, not out of give out of free will. Well, did you ask your wife? Did somebody make her give it? He's dancing around the question. See, we as Christians understand we're not compelled to do anything. By the grace of God, I have received salvation by faith through that grace. It's a gift of God, not by my works, lest I be able to brag about it. Ephesians chapter 2. See, I don't get to brag about the fact that I'm saved. I don't get to brag about I'm so holy. I don't get to brag about I have a calling. I don't get to brag about any of that. Why? Because I got it all for free. I got it all for free. I got my gifts and talents free. I got a position with God in the kingdom of God for free. I got salvation for free. So I don't get to brag about it. All I get to do is exercise what I've been given. I get to find my flow, get in it, and do what I've been called to do. Amen? Which means that all of us are blessed with the exact same gifts. Not the way they operate, but we're all given the same gift of grace. We're all given the same authority. We're all given the same position to be sons and daughters of God. Isn't that powerful? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a son or a daughter, and I can tell the difference of God. They're clarifying over here. Amen. All right, so as we've been talking about this, I want to get into this. This is going to take weeks to go through, but I want to hit this and make sure we really dig into this. So great is God's gift that when Jesus comes on the scene, the book of Matthew chapter 5 opens up a dialogue that lasts for 3 chapters. And it's a one-sided dialogue. Jesus is teaching. 3 chapters worth of Jesus teaching here. And it begins with this piece that we're going to talk about. Now, we were leading up to this talking about kingdom relationships. And that really, when it's all said and done, the gospel is about relationships. The first relationship is between us and God. That God says, I send Christ to be the bridge between the two of us. That by nature, you're born with this sin nature, you're separated from God, but you know what? I send Christ as your salvation. I send Christ to be the bridge between you and I. I send myself into the ground, into the earth, to be a human being who will sacrifice his life, his sinless life, for yours. I'll accept him in your place. And so innocent is he that I can accept him not just for your place, but for everybody's place. That's who Jesus is. So when Jesus comes into the world, he comes into the nation of Israel, who has been given by God a series of laws that came through Moses. We know about the Ten Commandments. You heard about the Ten Commandments? Raise your hand real quick. Everybody heard about the Ten Commandments, right? Well, the Ten Commandments was the tip of the iceberg. There were thousands of other laws that came with that. Thousands of laws. Laws about how you give offerings, laws about what the priest is supposed to wear, laws about what you're supposed to eat, laws over laws. The whole book of Leviticus is almost exclusively about rules and laws. I know people who want to sometimes go back and grab a hold of the Old Testament and say, I'm going to live under the old time, I'm going to live under this covenant. Well, then stop eating shrimp. Everybody's worried about the pork. People will tell you, don't eat pork. You don't eat shrimp either. You cut your shrimp down. Get rid of all those shellfish too. A whole bunch of people won't eat pork, but they'll eat pork of the sea. They'll eat the crab and they'll eat all that. But if you want to live under that old Mosaic law, you got to go back and get the whole law. You can't just bits and pieces. But Jesus said, I came to be a fulfillment of the whole law. I'm came to fulfill this whole thing. So this conversation that Jesus starts having with the people that are following him begins this conversation about moving away purely from laws and rules to moving into a kingdom mindset. A mindset that's not only focused on meeting the handwriting of requirements that's pitted against us, but actually starting to enter into a relationship with God that starts to give us freedom, power, and authority. So let's read this. And remember, when they're listening to him, they've never heard of this before. So I want you to put yourself in this mindset and let's get a hold of this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. All right, in this sequence are 9 things that are listed, which are commonly referred to as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. Okay, that's what they're commonly called. But this is actually the entry point that Jesus is choosing to use to have all this other discussion that's going to last for these next 3 chapters. So sometimes people grab these and they just take them at what they say and they don't consider that this is part of a whole discussion. That this is where he is choosing to shift their minds so they can receive the rest of the information. And the rest of the information starts digging into how you pray. It starts talking about how you give. It starts talking about all kinds of other things. But you have to get in the right mindset in order to understand what's getting ready to be said. So it's like that all the time. If you go somewhere and somebody just walks up, let's say you're at work. And your boss walks up and says, how's it going today? It's going fine. How's it going for you? Oh, great, great. Your kids doing well in school? Yeah, they're doing well in school. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's making small talk, right? Why is he making small talk? One of several reasons. One may he's just being nice. The other may be he's got something else to tell you that he don't want to just tell you. He got to just work toward telling you, right? So, you know, we got to get you relaxed, get you comfortable, and then I'll drop the bomb. Well, I'm glad everything's going well at home. We're going to make some adjustments here. Okay? So we know that when people lead conversations, they lead to set up the rest of the conversation. And that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is laying down some things to get a mindset set so that he can lead into other things which are more difficult to understand. So here he's breaking down these first things and he says this very first line here, blessed are. And blessed are is repeated multiple times, 9 in a sequence of 9 things here. What does that mean? Blessed. He wants you to be focused on blessed. So my question for you this morning is, what does blessed mean? What does it mean, blessed? Blessed are. Okay. What does blessed mean? See, when I think about blessed, there's different ways of thinking about blessed. You can say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Okay, so sometimes you'll ask people, how are you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Okay, so what does that mean? What does that look like? I'm blessed and highly favored. Yes, what does it look like? Well, tell me what it means. What does that mean to you? See, it's one thing to say I'm blessed. It's another thing to recognize what it is that's blessed about me. What is it? What is it that I'm blessed with? See, sometimes as individuals, the world has compressed us down so hard, we don't even recognize that we're blessed. Sometimes we're walking around for days at a time not realizing how blessed we are. Why? Because the world system has got you focused on other things. So Jesus says, before I tell you anything else, blessed are you. Blessed are you. But you don't understand. I'm having a hard time today. Well, guess what the first blessed says? Look at this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You're having a bad day? You're blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? See, anybody who's a Christian understands a certain level of poverty of spirit. Poverty of spirit is when you get to that point where you've entered into tribulation and you realize, I can't handle what's going on around me. My spirit isn't big enough to handle what the situation is, and because it's not big enough, Lord, I will surrender myself to you. I'm poor enough in spirit that I say, yes, Lord. I've hit that point where I can say, Lord, you know what? I got some great ideas about this, but they're not working. I've been trying to do a lot of things here. I've been maneuvering, manipulating, and trying to make this work, and it's not working. Lord, help. You just hit poor in spirit. When you get poor in spirit, then you're blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can't access heaven until you recognize your own bankruptcy. You can't get to heaven until you start understanding you don't have enough resources to pay the debt. You don't have enough to pay the debt. Well, you can't buy your way out of your sin nature. You can't give enough stuff away. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't do it. You're not going to make it. You're going to run out of time before your chips have stacked high enough. First things first, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the people who recognize, I don't have it. I would love to be perfect, but I'm so not. I would love to be the greatest pastor ever, but I'm so flawed. Now, I know that because I am, I have to depend on God. And because I depend on God and not me, I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I'm not depending on my own ability. I'm not depending on my own resource. I'm not depending on coming up with a good message. I don't have no good messages. I got boldness to stand here, and I got a Bible, and that's it. That's what I got. That's what I got to offer. I can't brag about anything. I can't elevate myself. All I can know is that this is what God's Word says, and I will tell you what God's Word says. I will tell you what I know. I will tell you what God showed me. I will reveal that to you. Why? Because I know that I am bankrupt. I can't get you to heaven. Can't get you there. I can't get you there. This Bible can get you there. This Word can get you there. This Word can get things in your life. This Word can make up everything you've lost. This word can take care of. This word can deal with what is in your life. This word can help you. This word can. And I'll tell you what the word says. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Peter, we talked about this before. Peter is sitting with Jesus and the rest of the disciples, and Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Y'all heard me say this multiple times, huh? But it's relevant. Who do men say that I am? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're blessed because flesh and blood didn't give it to you. You're blessed because you got something that wasn't given to you by flesh and blood. Amen. You didn't know. God had to tell you. And when the Father told you, he gave you revelation, and from that revelation, you just spoken out of your mouth and declared who I am. And guess what? On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Why? Because Peter, when you recognize you don't know, and you let the Father speak to you, you will speak things that other people can't get access to. Amen. Behold, I give you the key to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. Jesus, you can't die. Get behind me, Satan. See, Peter went from depending on the Holy Spirit to give him information to then speaking out of his own mind. And he went from you're blessed to you're the devil. When any of us start relying on ourselves, we're missing God. When our dependency becomes on ourselves and what we can do and what we are able to do, what we can accomplish, then what we've done is we've excluded God from the mission. When it's God's mission in the first place. See, God doesn't need anything specific from us besides what we have to offer him. And that's why it's so important to recognize that everything you do is a worship to God, so that you keep God in the center of everything that you do. And when you keep God in the center of what you do, then you always have access to God. Because yours is the kingdom of heaven when you recognize you're poor in spirit. Number two, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Anybody ever had a season of grief? If you haven't, you will. But this word says, blessed are they that mourn. See, when you recognize the personal issue of not having enough, mourning is a revelation for all of us. Mourning is a revelation. When you lose someone in your life, mourning is a revelation about your dependency on that person. See, when you enter a season of grief, grief takes place and you miss the person, you go through the wounding of loss, but then when that grief begins to continue and it holds on and it holds on and it extends, what is happening is that that thing is now starting to dictate my life. My loss is now dictating my future. So what was for me in the past is now holding on to me in the future. And what is not being said most times to us is that the reason it's holding on is because there's something that we have not surrendered to God. See, you can't replace the people who leave this earth. And I've had mourning enough times to know that you can't get back those relationships. But when that person leaves and you no longer have that person to fill that role, what do you do with the role? See, when my father passed away, I don't have a father. I don't have that person who was my paternal person. When my grandfather passed, I didn't have that person who made that personal investment in me when I was young. When I lost those individuals, when they're gone, who do I look to? Do I shift it to another person? Or do I shift it to God? See, when the grief continues to go and it won't release, it's because we're not releasing that thing to God. We're looking for another person to put in that role. And because a person will let you down, we are always in this cycle of not finding the right person because there is no right person. Blessed are you that mourn, because you shall be comforted. What did Jesus do? He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you, who will be with you. He'll be in you. And you can talk to him about stuff. He'll reveal things to you. He'll share things with you. He will be there for you. He'll be a comforter, a paraclete. He'll be a helper. He'll be all those different things to you. So you lost a person, but you got the Spirit. See, Jesus said, I'm not going to be with you always. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to leave. And when I leave, you're going to be confused. And it's exactly what happened. Jesus dies on the cross. He comes back up out of the grave, shows himself to his disciples. But where were they when he showed up? They were all scattered. They're all scattered. Why? Because they lost him. They lost this person who was a specific thing to them. And because they lost him, they didn't know what to do. And that's how it is. So I catch myself. I want to call my mother. Can't call my mother. So who am I going to call? You got to call on the Lord. And you know what? That's what God has ordained. He's ordained that when we don't have human contact, he is there for us. He's there for us. Blessed are those that mourn, because they will receive the comforter. See, there's certain things you won't experience until you have to go through a season of mourning, and then God brings that comfort. And when he brings the comfort into your loss, then you realize how blessed I am. Man, how blessed am I that the Holy Spirit has come to dwell with me, that he takes the place of that which I've lost. What a blessing. Blessed are you. You can't get this other stuff till you understand how blessed you are. Number three, blessed are the meek. I'm not going to go through all of these, but I want to hit a couple things. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, the poor in spirit inherited the kingdom of heaven. Those that mourn were comforted, but the meek inherit the earth. What does meekness mean? Meekness means to have power that you restrain. If you have power that you restrain, it seems like you would not prosper because you're restraining your power. But Jesus had all power, and when they lead him to Pontius Pilate to say, we're going to take your life, he says, if I wanted to, I could call down angels to help me. But that's not what I'm here to do. That's not my mission. That's not my purpose. I'm going to stick with what I've been given to do. And I'm going to fulfill my mission. He was meek. Meek doesn't mean that you act shy when you're not shy. It doesn't mean that. It means that you understand what you have available and you stay on course. You don't get off course because you can do something. I told you all about the fly, me and flies, right? If it's a fly in the room, it's something about a fly. I can't stand it. And flies around, and I will drop what I'm doing to get this fly out of my environment. Now, I'm a million times bigger than the fly. The fly is insignificant. But I will drop my purpose to get rid of this fly. Why? Because that's the nature of human beings, to get distracted. To get distracted, get pulled off course. Blessed are the meek. Why? Because having the power to get rid of that thing, I'm not worried about that thing because I'm on course. because I have a mission, I have a purpose. I can't get caught up on that. I can't get focused on that. I have to fulfill what I'm given to fulfill. So even though I have the power to do something, doesn't mean I'm going to do something. It means I'm going to stick with what God told me to do, and I'm going to do what God said to do. Amen? When you know what you've been called to do and you know what you're given to do, if you're on call, then you can stay with what God has given you. You can fulfill and do what God has given to you. You will inherit the earth if you can stay on course. If you can stay on course, you can inherit the earth. What does that mean? It means that if we as believers really treat worship, that everything we do is worship, and we keep that focus on everything we do, we will prosper in such a way that the earth belongs to us. If we get distracted and we start wanting what other people have, and we start chasing other things because we can do them, we'll lose focus. And you can't inherit it, because your inheritance is in your flow, where you're called to be. And when you're in where you're called to be, when you can fulfill that, then you can have what God says you can have. You can achieve what God says you can achieve. You can focus on it. Why? Because that's where God's leading and God's presence is going to be for you. And God can give you favor that other people don't have when you're meek enough to stay in your lane. Just because I can do this doesn't mean I can do it. Guess what? I can draw, but I'm not an artist. I'm not called to be an artist. I'm called to do something else. Oh, I can draw. Believe me, I can draw. Now, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And this is the last one we're going to tackle, and I'm going to wrap this. I'm going to give you some other things. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they shall be filled. Remember, Jesus is talking to these people that are following him, and he's trying to break this down so they understand it. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's certain things you can't get from God unless you're hungry. Sometimes when you're comfortable, you won't pursue things. Sometimes when you're comfortable, you don't sense the thirst. So what happens many times in churches is that we may evangelize somebody who's having a difficult time in life, gives their life to the Lord. And what happens? The person gets on fire. They get on fire for God. Their gratitude level is off the chart. They're thankful for God delivering them out of a bad situation. So they worship with all they got, and they praise with all they have. And if you ask them to do this or you ask them to do that, they'll do whatever they have to do. Why? Because there's a certain level of fire in them. Because they recognize that God has delivered them, and that passion is there, and that desire is there, and they will do various things, and they will run past people who are comfortable. You know how I know? Because I was one of those people. I was one of those people that when I gave my life to the Lord, they told me to read the Bible. I said, I'm reading this Bible. And I read it, and I read it, and I read it. They said, you got to do this? I said, fine, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever they told me to do is what I did. And I had this lady tell me one day, she said, I remember when you first came to the church, and now you're a pastor. Yeah. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Isn't that what I was supposed to do if that's what I'm called to do? And so I've been sitting around here all this time, and you didn't pass me up. Then you need to start running. You need to start running. You need to go. You need to do what you called to do. Because if we get comfortable, then you know what? The gospel is one generation from being eliminated, because it only lives in those who it's in. And if we don't pass it on, it's not going nowhere. This is what God did. God said, I'm going to bless you. children of Israel out in the wilderness, in the desert. He said, I'm going to bless you, and this is what I'm going to do. You guys are hungry, so I'm going to have something fall on the ground that you can eat every day. But here's the rules around it. It's going to fall. It's going to look good. You're going to take it. You're going to eat it, but you can't store it for tomorrow. If you try to overpick it and hoard it and save it for tomorrow, then it's going to go bad on you. And worms are going to come out of it. And that's exactly what happened. It was good for one day only. So you had to go out, you had to pick it, eat it, be done with it, and come out tomorrow. Pick it, eat it, and be done. Why did he do that? He wanted them to understand you need God's provision every day. You can't store up faith for tomorrow. You can't store up God's provision for tomorrow. You can't save up for God's provision tomorrow. You can't store up. You can't do that. You need it new every day. You need to have a new, fresh experience with God every day. The only way you're going to go out and get that fresh experience is if you're hungry. You won't go after things if you're not, if you are full. When I was a kid, a very picky eater. I wouldn't eat certain things. I'm still actually pretty picky, but I'm better. Wouldn't eat stuff. And so my uncle came to visit the house one day, and I was on my one of my protests. I'm not eating. He said, that boy ain't never been hungry. That's what his problem is. Don't feed him. See what he does. I never did like that uncle. I'm teasing. I love that uncle. But I held out longer than he thought I was. I know that much. Strong-willed child. You know what I mean? All right. Blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? Blessed is not always what people think it is. Sometimes we're waiting for happiness to fall into our households to believe that we're blessed. And happiness is only a byproduct of how you feel. So some people can be in the middle of tribulation and just be as happy as they can be. You know why? Because in the middle of their tribulation, they understood. Tony, let's go to Romans 5. Let's hit that one real quick. Romans 5, and then we're going to close with this. Romans 5 and 3. Some people go through difficult times, and they're happy. Romans 5 and 3, it's up on the screen. Here we go. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation is working patience. We glory in tribulations. We have tribulation and we're glorying in it. Glorying in tribulation. Why? Why could you possibly be glorying in tribulation? Because I know I'm blessed. Because I know no matter what the tribulation is it loss? That's fine. I'm broken spirit. I'm okay. I'll be all right. I've gloried in being unemployed. Because I have been. I gloried in sickness. Laying in a hospital bed laughing. Because I've been there. I've gloried in loss of a loved one. And my brother's unexpected funeral. I've been there. I've been in this season where tribulation comes and you get attacked and you can't get out of it. You can't cheat it. You can't get around it. You got to go through it. And when you go through, the question is, do you go through knowing that I'm blessed? That God has already taken care of my life. I am saved, sanctified. I received the Holy Spirit. I have His Spirit. And in that, He will not leave me alone. He's not leaving me alone. Why? Because when I mourn, I know I'm comforted. I know I'm comforted. I know I'm comforted. When things aren't good for me, I know that I'm blessed. I know I am. And I have patience to see my way through anything that comes because I already know where the end is. You get impatient when you're not sure about what the end is. But when you know what the end is, and you know that God has your good in his mind, and God is working things in your favor, then you can rest in the middle of it. You can have that patience, and in that patience, your character is formed. In that patience, you are shaped into something new. In that patience, in that tribulation, in that season, if you allow it, you will come out and not be the same. You will not be the same. Why? Because you discover something. In the middle of all that, you discover that everything in this world that we trust and that we believe in is all narrowed down to one thing: Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in me is my hope of where I'm going on to. It's Christ in me how I'm moving to the next level. It's not going to be how smart I am. It's not going to be how whatever else I got. It's none of that's going to be it. It's only going to be Christ and him alone. And because I trust in him and because my faith is in him, no matter what it looks like, no matter how dark it has gotten, I have always known that I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Amen. It's not works. It's not anything. And that confidence has to be in us. That confidence, not in ourselves, but in him. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. He's telling these people sitting on this countryside, they're not out there because they are comfortable. They're out there because they're sick of listening to these Pharisees. They're tired of hearing all this stuff. And they heard that this man, hey, he's got the word of truth. They came out to hear what it was. They followed him out into the wilderness to hear it. And so what is the first thing he tells them? You need to know you're blessed. I'm going to tell you some more stuff. But you can't even receive that stuff till you know you're blessed. You can't even receive how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. I'll teach you how to pray, but you know, first you need to know you're blessed. Because if you don't know that God is in your favor and he's listening to you, then no matter what I teach about prayer, you can't receive it. You got to know first that God is on your side and that God is not angry with you, that in Christ you are forgiven of all things. And to understand that you're forgiven, to understand that you're clear, to understand that you're clean, what does that mean? It means that I have the favor of God in my life. So when you ask me how I'm doing, if I should say I'm blessed and highly favored, I'm not just talking. I am blessed and I am highly favored. I really am. And guess what? And you are too. You need to know you are. You need to know that you're blessed. Tell your neighbor, say, boy, ooh, you are blessed. There's something really blessed about you. Blessed are you, amen? Amen. Let's pray. We're going to pray and give God some glory here. Amen? Amen. If you're blessed, would you stand on your feet, please? If you're blessed. Come on, I want those of us who recognize that. And if you're not comfortable with this, don't worry about it. There's no condemnation, those are in Christ, no condemnation whatsoever. But if you are comfortable with the fact that God has blessed you, I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord right now. If you're comfortable, if you know that God has blessed you, if you know God has seen you through tribulation, you know God has seen you through difficult times, if you know God's hand is on your life, then I want you to just lift your hands up to the Lord right now. Father, we give you the praise and the glory. We elevate your name above all things right now. We give you the glory. Lord, I pray for everyone here right now. Lord, that you would touch their spirits right now. Lord, that you would stir in them their Holy Spirit right now, Lord. Let your spirit comfort every wounded place of every heart in this room right now. Father, I sense that there's some burdens in here, and I declare right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you be a comforter to the person that is wounded or burdened right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray right now, we declare the life of God, the strength of God, the hope of the Spirit over them right now in the name of Jesus. We pray the spirit of deliverance over them right now, Lord, that you would allow the grace to push off every weight that's on them. Father, anyone here that is carrying burdens right now, we thank you that by your grace, Lord, your unmerited favor, Lord, that you would shine the light of hope into their lives right now, because hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has already been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we thank you for pouring yourself out over us right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you right now for the grace, for the peace, for the life of God. Lord, for your generosity to pour over us, Lord, for your loving kindness to be over us, Lord. We thank you for freeing us from our own mind of oppression right now. Every oppressive spirit we release right now, cast you off your assignment. Right now, we thank you for the grace and peace of God overshadowing everyone here, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to just give God praise, not in clapping. I want you to give God praise with your words right now. I want you to talk to your Father directly. I want you to just thank him for whatever he's done in your life. Sometimes it doesn't have to be the incredible. Sometimes thanking God for the little things shows more appreciation than the big things. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We thank you for life and strength and peace. We thank you for the grace. We thank you for strength. Thank you for our bodies operating. Hallelujah. We thank you for our minds being clear right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for freedom in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you that heaven is our destination, but we also inherited the earth through the meekness that we receive, Lord. We thank you that we're not waiting to go to heaven, Lord, to be blessed, but we're blessed right now in the moment, right now in the season. We're blessed right now. We give you praise and glory for these things. Oh, give God praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to grab your neighbor's hand real quick. We're going to have our praise team come up as we do our altar call.